This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
My life hasn't been what you probably think it has. We all have our struggles.
Your time will come, Diana. And everything will be different. Nothing good is born from lies. And greatness is not what you think.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And today, we're pretty excited to tell you that we recently made our way to movie theaters and we're reviewing something that is actually showing, although I'm not sure many of us have actually gone to see it. And that is Wonder Woman 1984.
It's been, I mean, how many times has it been postponed already? I have to admit, I was so excited when I heard that they were releasing it in limited non-red zone cinemas. And, you know, I'm going to say a lot of things about this movie as this show progresses. I will say one thing, though. I'm glad I watched it in the cinema. It is a cinema movie. It is an event film.
It's an event film. It's like a big, colorful blockbuster. It's built like a blockbuster. It's supposed to be. I really wanted to like this film. Like, I wanted to come into this review, like, just like raving about it. Like, it's the best thing I've seen all year and everyone needs to go see Wonder Woman. It's better than the first one. The movie's a lot of things. It's not what I expected it to be. And it is not as good as I expected it to be because I wanted it to be a lot more. I like it. I don't love it.
Let's not kill everyone's hopes.
Yes. So I like it. I don't love it. I think that's the best way to put it.
I'm solidly at meh. I'm like super meh. And I'm like just annoyed at everyone who made this a meh experience for me.
Okay. So I'm just going to say it. I really liked it. Like I said this from the very beginning. I agree completely with, I've seen a lot of mixed reviews. I agree with all the issues that were brought up in them. When we've discussed this off air, I know that we have also had a lot of the same reservations. Despite that though, I think essentially we all went into the cinema in a very similar emotional state. We all went in wanting it to be really good, wanting it to be event cinema, wanting it to just be everything for us that we've missed about the movie going experience this year. And for you guys, it was a letdown. For me, I think I was buoyed by that and also by the proximity of this movie to Christmas, because basically we're not going to talk about the story. I think we're going to sidestep as much as of the story as possible, because even the premise kind of leads you down spoiler lane. So we are going to sidestep a lot of it. But I think that fundamentally for me, this movie is a Chinese New Year movie. It's a Christmas movie. It is a movie that is basically silly, kind of action-packed, quite humorous, you know, needlessly sentimental. And I was in the right space for all of it.
Okay, so in that vein, I will talk about the things that I liked. And I love that we were revisiting Wonder Woman. I just don't think we have enough of her. And while I actually was not a huge fan of Gal Gadot in the first one, I thought she was fine. I actually thought she did much better in this one. There's a lot of personality. She gets a lot of time to be Diana, and that was nice. And it's set in the 80s. So there's this like great spandex 80s people doing aerobics vibe that I really, really like. The setting is great. And this isn't a spoiler because it's in the trailer. Chris Pine comes back. So a lot of things that are, you know, that if you're a fan of the first film, you'd probably really enjoy. I think where it was let down for me was just, it was as if they had a beginning point, a premise and an end point and didn't care very much about how they got there. And so everything is just kind of a mess, and a lot of lost opportunities. I can understand though why, as a popcorn film, you enjoyed it, Lynn, and I get it. And I think that if I had been in a maybe not as high expectations, I might have enjoyed it more.
Oh, it's such a perfect popcorn film. It is like the definition of a popcorn film. I also think that, you know, as individual pieces, the movie works really, really well. Like Chris Pine steals the show. Pedro Pascal as the villain, Maxwell Lord, he just chews the scenery. Like, he is so, so good in this. Kristen Wiig is good in this. Gal Gadot is good in this. The CGI I felt was good. I like the music. It's fun to look at. It's very nice to look at. It's a big cinematic film. Together, though, it doesn't make much sense. Like, it's disjointed. It feels like a trailer after a trailer after a trailer after a trailer. So it Absolutely. Doesn't work. You know, as a single film, I don't think it worked as well. Also, it's really long. Like, it's 2.5 hours of movie. I never complain about long superhero films. Like, I love it the longer they are. But this was just way too long for its own good. It just kept going and going. And I felt like they could have cut it short by at least 30 minutes to make it, like, tighter and more compact.
I agree with all of it.
this is going to be your tone for the show, isn't it?
It really is, because I agree. I did think that, yes, this part is dragging. I did also think that there were multiple setups for both the heroes and the villains, right? I think the movie didn't know where its climax was going to be. They kept kind of saying, okay, this is what's going to happen, only for there to be a close escape and, you know, a running off to somewhere else, and then the chase commences again. And I get it. I totally do. I still had fun. I think the thing that I wanted to say about the film above everything else was that I found it just a lot of fun, despite not making sense. And I have had some time to sit on this, right? And I think a part of this whole idea is that I just enjoy the fact that the movie was no longer or a little bit unfettered from the pressure of being the first female superhero Wonder Woman, having to be all sorts of things. It was allowed to simply be kind of silly, kind of preposterous, and very fun.
Oh, I completely agree with that point, because one of the favorite things for me about the film was the beginning sequence. And it was my friend that I watched the film with that pointed this out to me. It's so reminiscent of the old Superman films, which is just Superman going out and rescuing all these little folks around town. You know, it's not like a world destroying villain. So scenes like that you can only do when it's a second film, and when it's sort of we've gone past the Rara feminism of the first movie. And so actually those were the moments I liked, the Diana moments, the Diana being a normal person moment. And I feel like it was such a lost opportunity, because the movie both wanted to be that and also still somehow be Justice League. And those were the parts that didn't work.
No, so the opening sequence is, I think, my favorite 15 minutes of the film, which is, I think it's a sequence you can even watch online. It's on YouTube or something. They released it. And you're right. Like, I immediately thought of Superman. I immediately thought of, like, Christopher Reeves. It is so 80s or so 70s in that sense. Mm-hmm. And I wanted the movie to keep going in that vibe. The thing is, like, after like 30, 45 minutes of the film, Patty Jenkins starts to pull tropes from the 2000 superhero films. There's a lot of, we can't say what they are, but there's a lot of stuff that come from those films. Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2, a bit of X-Men. And I feel like it's too soon to throw back to those tropes. Like, it's too soon to write love letters to those films, because they're still new. A lot of the superhero movies still use those concepts and use those plot devices. So, you know, even when certain things with Kristen Wiig's character, Barbara Minerva, a lot of things are sort of been there, done that. And I feel they could have been more creative. It was like super surface level. I don't know if the surface level was supposed to be like an 80s thing, but for me, it didn't work as well.
We're talking today about Wonder Woman 1984, and it's an uneven split, essentially, in terms of who liked it and who didn't. But let us know if you've seen it, if you've been excited for it, and ask us any questions you might have, and we will answer free of spoilers. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
Citizens of the world, I'm here to change your life. anything you want. Anything you dream of, you can have it.
I don't want to be like anyone. I want to be an apex predator. You've always had everything, while people like me have had nothing. Well, now it's my turn. Get used to it.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And today we are reviewing Wonder Woman 1984, or WW84, depending on whether you're saying it aloud or seeing it on a poster, I guess. And I wanted to talk about what's new and what's old with the film. So we just heard there are two new elements, Pedro Pascal and Kristen Wiig. But we also mentioned this towards the end of the first half, which is that Patty Jenkins directed this film. She also co-wrote the script. She was, of course, also responsible for Wonder Woman in the first place. And I think, and this is me speaking as someone who enjoyed it, I think that a lot of the issues with the film are actually compounded from the first. So the third act, I don't think is particularly great. I did not love the fight scenes. I think a lot of the holes in the logic and the emotional storytelling are also actually just things that were there in the first film, but that the first film was good enough to sort of paper over.
I was expecting, now that they introduced Kristen Wiig's character, which who is essentially one of Wonder Woman's biggest nemeses in the TV series and the comics, I believe, Cheetah. I was looking forward to seeing what Patty Jenkins would do with that, with the female supervillain. And also because, you know, Patty Jenkins first came to the fore doing things like Monster, you know, all of these sort of great complex female roles. So for me, I was really disappointed at the fact that that went nowhere. In fact, the film's biggest flaw is the fact that it does so badly by its villains. It has actually, on paper, great villains. Pedro Pascal's villain is really good too. But they just go nowhere. It's as if they just came up with these ideas and didn't know what to do with them.
So I don't want to play the blame Zack Snyder game for Wonder Woman, but I noticed that his name showed up before Patty Jenkins in the producer's role. So he shows up, his wife shows up, Deborah Snyder, and then Patty Jenkins shows up. And this movie reminded me of a Zack Snyder film in the sense that it is very long and it's very like meandering. And it has like no aim. So like 15 minutes in, you get introduced to another plot. And then 25 minutes in, there's plot two. And 35 minutes in, 45 minutes in, plot three, four, five. And then like 10 minutes before the movie ends, you get like plot 17 and how they're going to solve it. And that's a Zack Snyder thing. It's a Zack Snyder quality.
And there's going to be a director's cut with all of those tied in together and it'll be a better film, apparently.
Exactly. So those things, and also like massive prologue. So he opens with these big introduction scenes, like a couple of them that have nothing to do with the rest of the film. They are just big set pieces. And I felt like that was a big way the movie behaved. I don't know how much he is to blame, but I feel like as long as he's involved with the DC side of things, there's always going to be like his shadow over these movies, and they're going to operate in the way that he likes movies to operate. I could be wrong. Like, this could be a purely Patty Jenkins thing, but I don't know. Just seeing his name there sort of like, it got me the wrong way.
Okay, so I have two things, right, about this. Firstly, I do think that the setup after setup after setup is a huge problem. However, the emotional heart of the film was strong enough for me to pull it through, which is this relationship that was from the first film, right? Between Diana Prince and Steve Trevor. And so that did it for me. I even as we were moving along from inane / insane situations to, you know, the next one, it still worked. The other thing is, I have a theory that this movie, I think the both of you may eventually feel kinder towards it with time, which is not to say that any of the flaws will go away, but that you will no longer have driven somewhere, sat in a cinema and watched it. Weirdly enough, for a movie that is so spectacular in the old-fashioned sense of the word, I think it will do well with at-home views because you're not going to be as critical, you're not going to be as driven by the story. Instead, you're just going to be like, oh, it's nice to see these people back together.
And you can forward through some of the extraneous awful scenes at the end, which just go on and on. I completely agree, though, that the Steve Trevor and Diana plot was the best. I just loved it so much. I was even moved to tears at one point. And they both play it really well. I'm not sure what I wish for this film. I wish Kristen Wiig's character had been better. I wish there was more thought given into the relationships, the way the Steve Trevor Diana relationship was fleshed out.
So I want to touch on a couple of things that I actually liked a lot about the film. One is the way that Wonder Woman moves. So the wire work in this film is really nice. She sort of, she has a skate-like quality. So she skates through her movements. You know, it's very graceful. And it's very different from the superhero films of like the 2000s and stuff. It is visually fun to watch the way she sort of like glides and moves from one place to another. The use of the lasso of truth is also very fun. I also love the fact that DC continuously and constantly leans into its gods among men trope. It's very different from the MCU or the Marvel side of things. They're not humans with special powers. These are literally gods in man's world. So that is Diana, right? So Wonder Woman is like a god. Superman is a god. And they lean into those aspects and they don't shy away from that. So those two things I appreciated a lot. I just wish it was like it bubbled inside a different movie.
Can I just jump in though on that particular point? I realized that the one thing that the Justice League universe has done to sort of shoot the Wonder Woman trope in the foot is that they decided Wonder Woman would be hidden. And so we get movie after movie where she can't be in public. So in Superman, you get these great scenes where people are looking up in wonder at him, or, you know, where he's rescuing people in the streets. And with Wonder Woman, it has to either be in some hidden barren desert so nobody sees her, or some shopping mall where there are no security cameras. And I feel like there was more of that God among men thing happening, because she really is great when you just sort of unleash her on the screen.
Yes.
I think, so I do enjoy that, the fact that she is incredibly powerful, and it is still, even after the glow of the first movie has worn off, it is still something to see a woman come into her own so fully. I think that Diana, my favorite quality about her is that she's a very unapologetic character. She just is what she is. She tells the truth. She is incredibly strong. You know, she is a god among men. She's not going to apologize for it. And because it's played quite charismatically, it really works for me. I think also I do want to touch on, we keep gliding past him, but I want to touch on Pedro Pascal, because I think Pedro Pascal is a make it or break it character, in the sense that you'll watch this film and you will either 100% go with him, find his performance incredibly fun and involving and just kind of OTT, or you're going to get in there and go, oh, okay, I'm not ready for this.
It's a dialed up to 2000 performance. I liked it. And that's exactly why I wished it went somewhere.
I loved it. I loved it like 100%. The moment he showed up and started doing his whatever he was doing or whatever he decided to do, I like loved it. And maybe it's because I'm on like a Mandalorian thing, which I've only seen through pictures, by the way. There's no way for me to watch that show. But
it's not available to us,
Arvin. It's not. What am I to do? But I loved his performance and the way he sort of like, he didn't, I think he took the 84 to heart. Like, he saw the word 1984 and he went, okay, I know
exactly. He's an 80s villain, like, to the core.
He's an 80s villain. And he went like, I know exactly what to do. And he did it.
I just wish there was more. Like, and Kristen Wiig too. I don't know what to say, guys. This is going to be my thing with this film. And maybe if I watch it on TV, I might actually give it a better chance. Like you said, Lynn.
Do you wish you watched it on TV though? Like, do you?
No, I am glad I watched it in the cinema.
Same.
I do. The only reason I bring up television is, like I said, and I'm going to return to this, because of that holiday movie feel. It has that cozy little, this is actually kind of a small story, but for some reason we have to make it about the end of the world. We have to threaten our very existence. But in actuality, it's quite a small emotional story. And I think, to your point, Sharmila, about wanting more, perhaps that's what the more is, right? We didn't want more spectacle. We didn't want more explosions or more strange CG fights. I think instead, I get it. What I wanted more of was the small emotional story that was really at the heart of the movie. It's about being, in some ways, inadequate. It's about wanting more. It's about wanting what you can't have. That's really the thing that drives the story.
I wanted more of Loki having a breakdown in his prison cell because his mom was gone versus Loki eviscerating a cityscape.
I didn't think anyone would compare anything to Thor: The Dark World, but you know, there it is.
I know, right? Which maybe the quality of the films just took me there.
Yeah, yeah. Do you guys want a Wonder Woman 3? I want a Wonder Woman 3.
I do.
Like,
yeah. I mean, I never have enough of watching Wonder Woman on screen.
Yeah, despite what I said, I definitely want to see a part 3.
I don't know that I do. We're on such opposites.
This is such a weird show.
The reason why is because I think that we are at a point, and because of the potential success of this movie, right? I worry that we will keep going down this path of diminishing returns with Wonder Woman. I hope that's not the case. I hope that, you know, that the same elements of fun and adventure and wonder, frankly, can be kept while dialing down on the stuff that doesn't work so much, mostly the geopolitics. But I don't know that that's the case. And because of that, I don't know. But yeah, okay, so this is where we stand. We end the show as we began it, just completely divided. Not what Wonder Woman would have wanted. We've been talking today about the sequel to Wonder Woman, which is Wonder Woman 1984. Have you seen it? Are you planning to watch it? Let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.